Welcome to Counting Towards Sinai, Tefillah series with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Tzipporah Weinberg, and today our focus is the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tefillat Moshe. We find throughout the course of Moshe's leadership that there are numerous times that he prays. We find that he prays to Hashem in Mitzrayim, asking for the redemption of the Jewish people. We find that he prays to Hashem at the Yam Suf, and Hashem redirects that effort. Immediately thereafter, during the war with Amalek, Moshe lifts his hands in prayer, and as he does, the enemy is vanquished. We have Moshe's prayer for mercy after Chet HaEgel, and so on, prayers for water, for food, for sanction after Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe prays for his sister to be healed from Tzara'at, and when stricken by snakes in the desert, that Klal Yisrael receive their restorative cure. Even so, there is one particular prayer I want to focus on, Moshe's entreaty at the end of his life, when he asks Hashem for his singular dream to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's Parashat Ve'etchanan, his last request. He beseeches, "Let me in." He was the one that took Bnei Yisrael out of captivity in Egypt. He was the one that led them through 40 years of life in the desert, with the highs and lows of the experience being what they were. And now, Moshe wants to see it through. He begs Hashem to allow him to complete this task and to arrive. Why? Because the difference between all the other prayers extended by Moshe and this, Ve'etchanan, the ultimate one, is that all the other prayers were accepted, were answered, but Ve'etchanan was not, at least not in the way that Moshe anticipated, not in a manner equal to his request. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot quoted from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saying, "When you pray, Al ta'as tefilatcha keva el rachamim v'tachanunim lefnei hamakom barachu." Don't make your prayer into a routine. Don't relegate it to the realm of obligation. What is an obligation? Says the Bar Tanura, it is a matter that more than anything you wish you were through with, that you want to be over and done. It's something that's a part of your checklist, maybe even an important part, but it's not integral, and it's not the way we are supposed to pray. In Ve'etchanan, 515 times Moshe pleaded. He begged Hashem 515 times with heart-rending strength in ways that were not obligatory to him, but they were necessary to him. He beseeched Hashem for his dream to come true. Each prayer was varied. Each one was impassioned. Each one of them was a heart-rending plea. And what was the result of all this? He didn't get what he wanted. Moshe never entered into Eretz Yisrael with Klal Yisrael, and yet his remains the template for all prayers to come. There are many reasons in our life that we pray and we lose the capacity of it becoming real, integral. There are many reasons why a person's practice of prayer lands up becoming keva. But the main reason? One might feel that there were times that you cried and cried and prayed with all your might for healing, for the welfare of children, or for success in one area or another. And since no evidence of response was forthcoming, the process of prayer cooled. It's human nature that if you try so many times and it doesn't bring result, it mitigates the ability to beg. The imperative of cause and effect is weakened. And often it might seem that those that didn't pray seem even more blessed with fortune. The type of prayer that extends from that place is referenced as Tefila La'ani Ki Ya'atof, the prayer of a lowly person when he is faint, from their impoverished state, from the despair, from the weakness, from the emptiness of that moment. So how do we get to the Ve'etchanan in our lives? How do we achieve that measure of plea that is recommended and demanded as the optimal way to reach out to Hashem? That is in fact what Moshe's prayer teaches us. Right then, even when it seems prayer after prayer, tear after tear, cry after cry, that our prayer is not being answered, in that moment lies our greatest power of connection, our ability to achieve what we alone cannot see. Avraham Avinu had a similar experience. He prayed for the people of Sodom so extensively, so much. But he wakes up the next morning and he sees Vayashkef al pnei Sodom va'amora val kol pnei eretz hakikar vayar vihine ala kitor ha'aretz kikitor hakifshan. Looking down towards Sodom and Amorah and all the land of the plain, he saw the smoke of the land rising up like a fiery furnace. Listening to these psukim, it seems Avraham's prayers went up in smoke as the lands are entirely consumed by fire. But the very next pasuk reveals the pearl. Vayihi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar, vayizkar Elokim et Avraham, vayishalach et lot mitocha hapecha. From the midst of the destruction, Hashem remembered Avraham. And Lot was extracted. And from Lot, Ruth is born. And from Ruth, Melech HaMashiach. So this unanswered prayer bore the answer to all our prayers. That prayer birthed our future. That impoverished prayer, that poor, lowly one that wasn't accepted, led to the revelation of he that is described as impoverished, as lowly, Mashiach. Portrayed by Zechariah as Ani Rochev al Chamor, the poor, the humble, the unrequited one. That overlooked and underestimated one is the answer to all of our dreams. It is that very prayer from the place of despair, and the one that seems to be the least effective of all, that heralds our greatest redemption. Moshe's 515 prayers, one after the next, even when they seemed futile, ultimately were accepted in ways beyond those we can imagine. And he opened those gates for us, the ability never to despair, to ask and ask again, because that is the essence of all prayer. Thank you for the privilege of learning together. This series has been dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmat Sarah Ann Lehman, Sarah bat Yitzchak Meshulam Fish, and Chaya Chana Edel by Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel and their families.